On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, John and I are joined by Heather Margolis of Channel Maven. We're going to talk about a whole variety of topics.
Oh, we got a pretty hot topic on hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs.
I mean, a little heated debate.
How many more hot dog puns you got? Keep them coming.
Come on, baby.
All right, stick around.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.
And we are really excited to have one of my good friends from the channel on today, Heather K. Margolis.
We say K and because there's a reason.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to that story later. Yeah. But Heather is from the CEO and the founder of Channel Maven Consulting. They are in the IT space, a real big company that helps vendors and partners do marketing to end users, and she's been working in this space for over 10 years now. And she's got some real big customers ranging from, you know, she said Dell's and Google's and Microsoft's, and you know, she owns the business, started it out in Boulder, and she's got employees all over the country. In fact, one, her head of operations lives here in Sarasota.
Yeah, that's right.
Jen Reed, who another experienced channel vet, has been around for a long time in the space and knows everybody. And so met Heather out at an event in Phoenix at the B2B show, and we just really hit it off. And now we're working together on some projects, and she and her company are fantastic people to work with. So if you're looking for help, if you're a partner and you're out there and you're looking for help for, you know, building up your online presence, doing demand gen, helping out with social media, anything like that, you know, look up Channel Maven Consulting, give them a call. Most of all, they're great people.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You'll hear from our interview that Heather's fantastic, and her whole team is like that. They're easy to get along with.
Fun. It was a fun interview.
Yeah, and she does a great job of really, the culture of the company is really, really fun. I mean, they're just fun people, and, you know, they keep it light and they keep it moving, but they also produce great work. And, you know, you can't not do that if you've been around for 10 years, you know?
Exactly.
I think everyone will really enjoy that interview, and we get into a nice debate about hot dogs as well.
Yeah,
so
it gets heated.
Unlike a cold hot dog.
Oh yeah.
Like, have you ever eaten a hot dog raw, like out of a, like, you know, like
I actually have.
Yeah, that's,
it's not good. Probably.
No.
Well, it's not really raw. They're already cooked. You just didn't heat it up.
I had an undisclosed, because I'll keep it private.
There's a lot of fat in there.
I had an undisclosed family member who used to eat the hot dogs cold out of the bag.
Ooh.
I won't say who, but it always kind of grossed me out.
That's kind of gross just talking about.
And then this person would always be like, "Well, it's pre-cooked. They're already cooked." And I'm like, "Yeah, that doesn't matter to me."
Yeah, you might want to, you know,
put it in the microwave for a minute or two.
Just for a minute or two. Just to make it look good. just so David doesn't get sick to his stomach
just
watching you eat it.
Yeah,
once you eat it.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, but
why can't you name the person? If you can't, you can hold them nameless.
Yeah, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here. But
oh, you've thrown many under the bus, David. Come now.
No, I'll keep it. I'll tell you afterwards offline.
Okay.
Or maybe I won't. Who knows? We'll probably forget about it anyway.
Oh, I see where this is going. Going back to my memory stuff. And
No, I would never do that. So last night, we can't not do this podcast and not talk about the Game of Thrones finale. We have to talk about it. Did you watch it?
I did not watch it.
Oh, my gosh. Chris watched it. Fred watched it. John, but are you a Game of Thrones watcher?
I watch it because my wife watches it. I'm kind of forced to watch it. I don't understand it.
Oh.
It's very confusing to me.
Well, I would say the finale, I would give it a 2 out of 5, maybe a 2.5. I think it was.
Was it the end of the world?
No.
No, it just everything.
It was just the end of the show.
I understand, but it was like, was there anything at the end? It was like, oh my goodness, that just fulfilled what I was looking for.
I would say not in this episode. It was left you feeling a little empty. I felt like it was a little corny in some parts. I did enjoy the montage at the end of the Starks, sort of what they were doing, the kids. And I just felt like the time between, when Danny died, and when they went to the next scene where they were at this council, was like, could we get 10 minutes of how they got here? I mean, like, I would rather have had that than the 5-minute interlude the of them dragon... yucking it up on the at the small council. Like, that was so, it was just very corny in some parts. But overall, I mean, you look at that show and...
Did the other dragon die?
Yeah, there's only one dragon left, Drogon. He flew off, too. They don't know where he is.
So he's gone.
Yeah. He picked up Dany.
There'll be a sequel.
He just with the dragon?
He picked up Dany?
He picked up Dany and just flew off with her. Well, she was dead at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, John killed her, just to let you know.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you've ruined it for me trying to watch it tonight. I was going to probably...
You just said you didn't understand it.
I don't understand any of it. Okay, so there you go. I really don't.
Well, I think... I'm a big proponent, though. Give me the Arya... off and west. Give me that. Give me the spinoff of the Arya going west. I would be down with that in a heartbeat. I'd also. I know I got the prequel coming out, but let's get rid of the prequel. Let's get to the Arya going west. I want to see that show.
Okay.
I like that character.
You know, the one show I watched recently. It's one season, and it actually goes through the beginning and the end. Mm-hmm. It fulfills everything you needed. It's like it's
what was it?
Godless.
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 What was it? Was it a Western?
Michelle Dockery. Yeah, Michelle Dockery.
It's on Netflix show, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that was one of those, it's like, I don't know, 10 shows.
Yeah.
But when it ended, you go, ah, perfect. That's exactly what
was that Jeff Bridges?
Yes, yeah. Jeff Bridges was the...
Yeah, I remember that when that came out, maybe last year.
Like
I always
he chewed his own
it.
Arm off.
Oh, almost. Don't tell me. I don't know. I'm never going
to Well, okay. Okay, I'm going to watch it.
Also, last night we got a nice preview of the Westworld trailer for Westworld Season 3. Which was a very strange trailer with Aaron Paul on it, but I'm very much looking forward to that.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Aaron Paul, he's a guy who was in Breaking Bad.
That's right. Now okay. He's going to be in Westworld Season 3.
Okay. All right.
Which apparently is taking a dramatic turn from where it left off because it didn't look anything like the last end of Season 2. But anyways, let's get Heather on the phone now. We had to talk about Game of Thrones. We could not talk about it.
Okay. We got it. We got it all out. So I don't need to watch it.
I mean, you should still watch it.
Okay.
It's still a good, I don't know, I'm getting shaking heads
just,
here.
I just think like it's an hour of my time.
Hour 25.
Hour and 25, wow.
Yeah, I just needed 2 more hours. Just 2 more hours of content, and it would have been like 2 more episodes, and I would have been happy.
Okay.
But, you know, for 8 seasons, it's been a great show. I mean, they have really...
So one show, and you're going to just...
I'm not poo-pooing the whole thing.
Nope. Okay, no poo-pooing.
No, I'm just saying that...
Do we have to edit that, saying poo-poo?
No.
Okay, we're good.
The first 3 seasons were great. The next 3 seasons were solid. The last 2 seasons were rushed and just very compressed. And they just should have done it. They should.
Well, isn't that what's normal in when these...
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
You get the ratings and
the
they're going to follow
you. The show just gets graded on a different scale, yeah, you know? It just... But still what they've done... What they did on television was something that people never thought could happen on television. You know, they basically just made movies every week and with massive, you know, effects and huge budgets. And I mean, they really pushed the envelope for what's possible on TV. And I think that's really will probably be the legacy for the show in general.
Wow.
That's my take.
That's prolific.
Yeah. That's prolific.
It was. It's like, wow.
All right. Let's get Heather on the phone.
Yeah.
Fred, Chris, Les, someone call Heather.
Come on, Heather.
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 John and I are now joined by Heather Margolis, who is the founder and CEO of Channel Maven Consulting. Heather, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And you are where? You're in Boulder right now in Colorado?
I am in Boulder, Colorado. I'm born and raised Masshole. Oh. Can we say that on the podcast?
You can say that. Absolutely, yes. We have an explicit.
I think you just did.
You know, we had a big argument last episode whether or not we were going to take the explicit tag, and I was like, we need it.
Yeah. Well, so tell me if you have it or not, because that totally changes my talk.
We got it. Don't worry.
We're good.
Great.
So you were born in Boston, but then you lived in Colorado now for how long?
8 years.
And are you ever going back? Or are you sticking in Colorado?
Never going back. Never. No, we love Boulder. Both my husband and I are both entrepreneurs. For us, it was very much where can we... like have our type A personality and big focus on business and then also like go for a hike.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful area out there. So you founded Channel Maven when?
10 years ago. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary, March 1st, 2009.
And tell our listeners a little bit about what Channel Maven does, like sort of the background and sort of how, what you focus on today.
So I came out of the channel. So I had worked as an ISV and then on the vendor side in channel marketing and channel programs. And really, I always knew I wanted to start a business and really just was so passionate about the channel and building relationships. When I started Channel Maven Consulting, we kind of did everything, as some of your partners can probably understand and have gone through. You just want the revenue. So yeah. Somebody says, do you do XYZ? You're like, yep. So we did too much, I think. And now we are very much focused on channel marketing to your partners. So helping IT vendors communicate to partners without bombarding them with a million emails a week. And we do demand generation through partners, either helping to create content vendors can use, manage marketing services, and then helping partners one-on-one.
So you're working with vendors on the IT space, or specifically in voice, or is it all over the world? I mean, all over the sort of the map.
Yeah. Any IT vendor, even on-prem, believe it or not.
Oh,
I know. Old school. And telecom. I know. Yeah, it's still relevant, apparently.
don't piss them off, Heather.
It is still relevant.
I
just had a conversation today where, there are some industries that just can't go in the cloud. You know, financial services, they're not putting all of their data in the cloud. They still need on-prem, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it does have its advantages from a security standpoint, from compliance, from local survivability, things like that, that are really important to some businesses. I mean, you know, we see that today. I mean, obviously, our approach is a little bit unique in that we have an on-prem device, but we have most of our applications and everything in the cloud. So we do get the benefits of both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that's interesting is when the partner does. So you as a vendor have some partners that are still on-prem and that's the way they want their business to be. And you have some partners who are either, air quotes, ready, born in the cloud, or they have made the transition to recurring revenue. And I think the challenge for partners who want to try to do both is, okay, then what is your business model?
Yeah.
And what are the partner programs that can really lend themselves to your success? And what are the resources you need?
Yeah, I mean,
that's interesting, because it's like our partners are, a lot of them come from that prem-based environment and they want to go into the recurring side.
Mm-hmm.
So they have and our model is designed to basically for them to have both.
Like bridge that gap a little
bit. Yeah, bridge that gap a little bit. So it's not a leap off the cliff, so to speak. We have to go all in. It's they can go over it gradually.
Well, and especially if they focus on your prem solutions, but then can add services to that. And that can be their recurring revenue, where it's just a monthly fee that their customers are paying and they get, a more high touch model.
Yeah, that's exactly what they want. But, you know, I think the challenge is, how do they get there? You know, it's a big shift for some of those folks. But, you know, that's where your company has come in. You help those partners sort of make that transition, you know, move into an MRR model and really try to understand how they can do that. And sort of some of the ways they can do that, or, you know, sort of stand out in a crowd, is through some, you know, social selling or on branding themselves online. So from a social selling standpoint, you know, what do you talk to partners about or vendors about? How do you communicate that? What can they do in that space to really stand out?
Absolutely. I think the first thing is to believe that it's really, you know, people say, I'm not going to stop sending email and I'm not going to stop telemarketing. I need to keep doing all those things. I believe that if you have a professional profile, specifically LinkedIn, I think mm-hmm. that's the best place to start. And you can curate compelling content, whether it's created by you, the partner, or it's created by another outlet, even just something you saw on the news that speaks to your solution or the pain point that you're trying to solve for your customers. And sharing that content and then going and connecting with prospects. The best place to find prospects is, if you sell into healthcare, go to a healthcare event and get the list.
Yeah.
Or go to industry rag that your prospects might advertise in, because those prospects probably have money. If they're spending if they're spending money on print ads or online advertising, then they have budget.
Especially so, print ads.
Especially like it, then you're like, well, how can I burn my money? What can I what can I do with my money? So I think you know, get your profile up to date, have that compelling content, connect with your prospects. And then we do, when we talk about social selling, we really coach partners and vendors alike. If vendors are trying to recruit, it's also something they can do. Connect with someone with a custom message. Don't just use the, I'd like to add you to my networks on LinkedIn. And then also do sort of a roundabout. So look at who you're already connected to that they're also connected to, name drop a little bit, and then send them that compelling content. Once somebody connects with you, then you can add them to your nurture list and do a newsletter or do emails, but just easy on the emails.
Yeah, we get a lot of email and most of it we probably don't open. I mean, I get some that you get every single day or whatever, and you're just like, I feel like, I don't want to unsubscribe to this stuff, but it's so much easier just to delete it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the thing that we forget is, you know, 10 years ago when we were all on email, you actually had to open an email to delete it. You couldn't just delete it. And then it became much easier and you could like check the box. And now on your phone with the swipe of your finger, like I can't tell you how many times I've accidentally deleted an email because it's so easy to delete an email now.
Yeah.
So if that's the only thing you're doing, not to mention if you're sending someone an email and they're in the middle of their busy day and they're trying to find something, they're going to delete. And, you know, it's like frustrating. It's like, ugh, get that out of my way. Whereas if you're on something like LinkedIn, which is where someone is probably going to take a break to like, oh, I have 5 minutes. Let me see what's going on LinkedIn. Then they're more likely to be receptive to your message. They may even go back to the email and say, wait a second, I think I got an email on this. Let me open that.
Yeah, it's great advice. I just need someone to explain to me how the LinkedIn algorithm works because I can't figure it out. The content it shows is like, here's one from like 6 months ago. And it's like, where did this come from? I need right. someone to figure that out for me. Fred, I'm putting you on that.
You got it.
Roger that. I'll get right on that, Rose.
I'm right on top of that, Rose.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about sort of online branding, sort of maintaining a profile for yourself. And I know there's a funny story there about your that you've told me before. So I think that's a good story to hear for everyone to hear.
You know, it's hard on a podcast because usually when I'm standing in front of an audience, I show them a picture and it just, you know, picture 1,000 words, that whole scenario. So I grew up in Massachusetts. I know you're a New Yorker.
New Yorker.
So immediately we're supposed to hate each other, right?
No, my wife's from Massachusetts, her whole family. So that's not
possible. Okay, good. So I grew up in Massachusetts. My maiden name was Leutherstein.
Leutherstein.
Which in Massachusetts, I was Heather Leutherstein.
That's even hard for you to say.
We drop our ass. But if you Googled me, you only ever found me.
Yeah.
When I immediately changed my name, it wasn't even changed legally. We're like driving away from the wedding to go on our honeymoon, and I'm changing my voicemail to, hi, you've reached Heather Margolis. I went and Googled myself one day thinking, oh, I wonder what you find when you find Heather Margolis. So you find Cindy Margolis, who is a stripper. But as strippers go, she's like one of the most famous, which is, you know, if you're gonna be something, be good at it. And she her phrase, or you know what, she her tagline was the most downloaded woman on the web. So I always use my middle initial K, Heather K Margolis, and as soon as you Google Heather K Margolis, you don't find Cindy anymore.
But it's a great lesson though. So I mean, like, understand if you're a brand out there, understand that what comes up, like when you're talking about what your company name is going to be, or what your domain is going to be, or what you know, how you're going to position yourself on the web, make sure you look at that ahead of time. Make sure you understand what's out there, and then if you need to position away from that, or you need to make a change, or like you said, adding a middle initial in, that made all the difference in the world. I think you need to understand that.
Well, and that, yes. And that lends itself to search engine optimization as well. So a lot of partners that we've worked with, you know, let's say I'm looking at a Mr. Potato Head in my office. Let's say that they're potatoheadit.com, but they can only get PHIT.
Yeah.
They're doing themselves a disservice already because people are hearing Potato Head IT and then they're not using that URL.
Yeah.
So making yourself as easy to find as possible. Anytime we're helping somebody come up with a new name, and we do not do branding, but it's something that I, you know, I think is fun. And we immediately go on to a domain search and, you know, sorry, that can't be the name of your company. It's taken, or, you know, and deciding in that way is huge and helpful.
Yeah, it's tough because there's so many people squatting on domains now too, but you know, that is what it is, I guess. You'll have to just figure out your way around it.
How many people are looking up Potato Head IT right now?
Yeah.
or fit as you, so PHIT.com.
Totally.
Like, sounds like a fitness craze.
Yep. There you go. Except it's Potato Head. So.
Except it's the exact opposite.
I don't think potatoes are terribly fit these days.
So when you're talking to partners, sort of the next in that sort of evolution of their life cycle, what do you work with them on from when they're trying to find customers from a demand gen standpoint? What is, you talked a little bit about events and you talked about LinkedIn. What else can they do to sort of build a full scale demand gen plan?
So I think it's first really important to focus on a vertical. Don't just, you are going to, instead of being you know, so-so to a lot of customers, I would rather that they are super targeted to a smaller group of customers because then they're going to win a higher percentage of deals.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on a niche. I worked in the IT channel. We focus solely on the IT channel. I could certainly do demand gen for other industries, but we wouldn't be able to talk the talk as easily.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to focus on a niche and then target that niche really, really closely. So think about where they're hanging out. Are they on different LinkedIn groups? Are they on different industry rags, as I mentioned, or online? Where are they focusing on gaining information? And then make sure that you're there to help them gain information, particularly about your business.
So, you know, it's one of the things that you sort of see naturally with our partner base, John. I know when you talk to a lot of our partners, they'll all of a sudden sort of say, you know, we got a bunch of customers in assisted living facilities. So we got a bunch of customers in retail facilities. And it's like, well, that doesn't happen on accident, right? I mean, so that
it's a natural for our product.
When you win one or two deals in that space, you sort of start to gravitate towards that area. And not only that, but it gives you, as you said, you can be able to talk the talk. You can understand.
You had credibility.
Right.
A lot of credibility when you have four or five customers that are in the same industry. And I think that's extremely important to become an expert on it.
But
you get referred.
Exactly.
You get referred quickly, easily. You can bring up, do some name dropping. So.
And you can walk into that next customer and understand, you know, these are the three or four challenges that an assisted living facility has. Or
pain points that have to be addressed.
And you can speak to those right away. It just, like Heather said, it gives you a lot of advantages if you can focus in on one or two verticals that you can be very specialized at in your area. And you can just from winning those deals, you can get yourself to a very successful business.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Probably more successful than trying to go after... You know, in the whole buckshot, you know, you're trying to do a shotgun approach and get all these different style and different industries. It's, if you focus on a couple, I think it much more successful.
I always give the example of a pharmaceutical ad, you know, when they start out and they're like, do you suffer from gas, bloating and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you want to start every conversation with, I know that you are struggling with X. And I know how to solve that because I have struggled with X, or I have helped 100 people solve that problem. So you really want to ensure as a partner that, or a systems integrator solution provider, that you're solving your customers' pain points, and then you're explaining to them what their customer, their pain. You want them nodding yes, like yes, I struggle with that.
I struggle with gas daily. You know, that's what you start the conversation off with each of them. Yes.
Oh, that's what you that's what you took from that, huh, John?
I when the whole gas bloating, and then the side effects are you're gonna have it's like, but the side effects are
you got bad voice reception. That's a side effect of that. Yeah. So. Heather, I know you and your team travel a lot. Where can we find the Channel Maven folks coming up?
So next week I will be at, next week, tomorrow in 24 hours, I will be at Women of the Channel West.
Oh, nice.
And then we will be at ChannelCon in August.
Okay.
And then, you know, any of the shows that have Channel or X in them, we will most likely be at those in the next 12 months.
And, are you presenting? Are you on any panels? What are you? What are some of the hot topics?
You just missed. Yeah. So Channel Focus. I think it was the best Channel Focus I've ever attended. In 7 years, was just last week, and that was there's a Women's Leadership Council, where it's no boys allowed, all girls, and we were just chatting about. How technology has shifted, how the channel has evolved, how you manage work-life balance. So some of our takeaways, we had apps and tools session for like, how do you make it all? You know, I have 2 kids under 3 and my husband owns a totally separate business. So some of our fun apps were the Peloton bike, having a bike in the house. And if you're not into cycling, the app itself has some pretty awesome workouts. AnyList was a big one.
I'm a big like subscriber to AnyList. My wife and I use it for everything.
Crazy. I never knew anything about it. So you can share a list and I almost said AnyList, but you know, I think I give them enough props. And then, my Panda Planner, I love this thing. It's old school. You can't see me cause you know, we're on a podcast, but I'm actually holding up a notebook. It just really helps you coordinate your personal and professional life from a, like, what are you trying to get out of it? Instead of waking up in 20 years and going, wow, I just sort of went through my day to day and I didn't really achieve anything.
That's awesome. And at the women, so at the Women of the Channel event, you know, have you seen a sort of an uptick in sort of female leadership across the board of the last like 5 years? Like, what does that look like? You know, what, you know, has that been something that's been noticeable, a noticeable change?
Definitely. So Channel Focus itself, this year, it was 55% women.
55%.
No, 55%. And it's all vendor side. So it's all the manager, director, VP level, channel executives from the vendor side of things. But I also, when I go to Women of the Channel and it's partner and vendor side, you see it there too. I think the cloud has made it more accessible for women to start. You know, a lot of times you hear women who start businesses tend not to go for funding. And I never went for funding. And people who can start a MSP don't necessarily need funding, right? You're not like buying hardware, you're helping, you're a professional service. So I love seeing that. And I'm a big supporter of a bunch of different STEM resources and foundations. So I want to see more girls and boys in technology and interested in that and choosing that as a career path.
Yeah, we're big promoters of that over here too. It's one of the foundations that we're tied with. There's a STEM foundation here locally in the area. That's awesome. I know that we just there was just an announcement today on Women of the Channel, and we just had 5 of our female leaders here in our company get into the Women of the Channel, which is fantastic. And I think close to 40% of the women we have here are in leadership roles. So, you know, it's something that we've really taken a real strong look at, and we want to make sure that, you know, we're sort of like back to what you said, talking the talk. So, you know, it's important that we continue to strive to sort of balance out those scales. So thank you for doing that. And John, I know you have a couple of last questions you always want to ask.
Well, it's a couple of questions we ask everyone. So, Heather, what is your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich. So here in Boulder, there is a sandwich restaurant called Dish Gourmet, little plug for them. And they have something called the Mapleton, except as my husband can tell you, I never order anything off the menu. It has to be. So could I have the Mapleton, but I want it on. It's roast beef, cheddar cheese, like a horseradish aioli. And I get it on a baguette, but I am lactose intolerant. So hold the cheese.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
That does sound delicious, does, John.
Yeah, it sounds good.
We were having a debate before we came on about the hot dog. I thought maybe you were going to talk about the hot dog. Is the hot dog
is
sandwich?
Not a sandwich. It's not a sandwich.
It's not a sandwich.
It's a piece of meat between two pieces of bread.
Well, it's.
I don't know why you're wrong, but you are.
I don't know. I think the hot dog is a sandwich. I'm going to stand by that.
Why do you feel it's a sandwich if you say it's?
Because it's like, what's the difference? It's just the way it's positioned is differently than it. I mean, but you still got it's okay. Got condiments. It's got maybe it can have some like lettuce or arugula. I don't know if you want to put arugula on a hot dog.
Ew.
But maybe you could put some relish.
Relish on it.
Put a relish. I don't know.
Okay, counter. Go ahead, Heather. Why is it not a sandwich?
I think it's more about the meat, whereas with a sandwich, it can be more about the bread.
Wow.
And you could eat a hot dog without the bun.
That's
yeah.
Well, you could eat roast beef without a.
If I threw a chicken drumstick into a hamburger bun, does that make it a sandwich? No.
Because you put the bones in it.
This is a debate that no one. Well,
this
win.
Is. Yeah.
I don't want to go there, this but could, there are definitely bones in hot
I
dogs.
I think this is the next podcast we'll go into. We're going to have the discussion.
Is the hot dog a sandwich?
Hot dog, yeah, the hot dog a sandwich.
And one last question for her, right?
Yes, one last question is: do you have any pets?
I do. She, if you go to www.channelmavenconsulting.com and hit our about us, she is our chief cuteness officer. Okay. Actually, we're on podcast.
That's okay.
There's a picture of her behind me. Zoe the dog.
Okay, a dog. What kind of dog?
She's a mutt. She's a Heinz 57, if we're talking about hot dogs.
Okay. That's a Heinz 57 of the dog.
I'm sure there's like Pitbull, Lab, maybe Whippet. Sometimes she acts a little bit like a cat.
Okay.
How old is she?
How old? Yeah.
She will be 8 in July.
Okay.
And what's her name?
Zoe.
And she's the chief cuteness officer.
Mm-hmm.
Any other pets?
I have 2 kids.
Well, they're not. You don't put leashes on them, do you? In the mall?
Not in public.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. That's what we wanted to hear.
Well, Heather, thank you so much for giving us the time today. We
thank
really
you
appreciate
guys.
It. I know we will be in touch probably in the next few days. We are working together on some initiatives, so we appreciate your work at Channel Maven and. I will see you around at some future shows.
Thank you
Sounds
so much,
good.
Heather.
Thank you.
All right. Talk soon. Bye. So, John.
Yes, David.
The hot dog is 100% a sandwich.
Well, I think she had a pretty good argument there. I think it could be debated. I think we need a podcast just to talk about is it?
What about like a whole podcast where we just eat different types of hot dogs and we discuss whether they're sandwiches?
That would be awesome. I think that would be pretty cool.
What do you like on a hot dog?
You know, I'm a little weird.
Oh,
because this is something I know that you can't stand.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I put a little mayo on the bun. I do. And a little mustard and a little ketchup.
I like a spicy mustard, chopped onions, with ketchup.
Well, that's what makes us so unique and different. And that's
How
why we get along.
How could you put mayo on a hot dog?
I can, David. It's allowed.
Oh, man. What about, like, what's
this
that?
This is America.
Sauerkraut. Do you like sauerkraut?
This is America.
I don't like sauerkraut.
I don't like sauerkraut either.
Not my thing.
I mean, it's like, yeah.
What is it?
Coleslaw dog.
Coleslaw dog?
That's pretty cool.
There's a place where I grew up that's, it's got, like, a, you walk in, there's, like, 50 different hot dogs. Yeah. You know, like, they have, like, and it's really, really good. But it's, like, it's overwhelming. I just kind of want a hot dog. You know, you don't know what you want on it.
I think we should have a spring in about 8 or 10
hot dog
different
fest.
Hot dog fest.
Do you have any local hot dog places here in Sarasota? I don't know of any.
I'm thinking.
Isn't there like that weenie, like wings and weenies, something like that? Or
there was a place on Main Street closed.
No, but this was like on Fruitville, I thought.
There's a wings and weenies on Fruitville.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have
We'll have to do a show.
They have new owners there, actually.
Oh, new, maybe they want to be on the show.
You think so? They bring us some wings. Oh. We've never anybody bring food into us.
No.
I mean, we always ask for food, but we never get any
food.
The
producers of the show are.
I don't even see any water here. Poor. In the event that we're, yeah. something were to happen, we get locked in this room. We have no hydration.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will absolutely die.
So, what else is going on with you, John? Traveling any?
I am traveling, take a little vacation at the end of this week.
Oh, nice.
So that's just non-remote.
Are you doing any shows, any recruiting, any trainings?
We are doing some trainings. I have not been tapped to go out and do any because we need the right size partners to do it. But if we bring in the right size partners, I will actually show up, which is kind of a threat. So let's just make sure we know that. It's a little bit of a threat. I will be there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You want John there.
You need me on that. You need me on that hill. Yeah.
I just got back. I was gone for a week. I was up in New York for a couple of days. It was 40 degrees and cold. So that was fun.
40 degrees, it means cold, doesn't it? What do you
say? I mean, rainy. 40 degrees and rainy.
Okay.
Cold and rainy.
Okay.
Good point there. I screwed that up.
Yeah.
And then I went out to California, and it was 100% chance of rain for the 2 days I was in California. So just raining the whole time I was traveling.
California a few years ago, that would have been like, bring on the rain.
Yeah, they were. It was pretty gray. We were in the heart of Silicon Valley. It was really cool. We were surrounded by all the Apple buildings and a sort of neat area.
And it rained.
And it rained. Yeah, it was raining the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah. Just drizzly rain.
Just drizzly rain. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just.
Not like here. It just comes down in 30 minutes. It just buckets and then it stops. So
no, it was not like that. But it was a good week of travel.
I'm getting my hair cut tomorrow.
You need it, yeah. It's looking a little long.
Getting it cut tomorrow. Thank goodness you can't see it, but not that long.
No, it looks good. I wouldn't know you needed a haircut.
Yeah. That was weird, wasn't it? It's right next to the Charlie's sandwich shop. That's where I'm going.
I've been there once. Charlie's cheesesteak?
Yes.
Over off of Fruitville.
Phenomenal.
Second Fruit.
Ringling and Tuttle, actually. Just off Fruitville.
Yes, you're right. I've been there one time. I went there with Paul Hoffman from South Tech.
What'd you have?
The cheesesteak. What else are you going to have there?
Oh, have their Italian sub.
Well, maybe I should go with you tomorrow.
No, you take a...
Well, I don't want to go to get a haircut, though.
Yeah. Italian sub there, you want to,
Why don't you invite me to go?
You want to go?
Sure, thanks for the invite.
Okay, let's go. We'll go tomorrow.
All right, great. That's it for today.
Okay, David.
Stay tuned for next week's update when we'll talk about how the Italian sub
was. Italian sub was. And the haircut.
And the haircut, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Thrilling.
Thanks, David.
All right, for Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.
We'll see you next time.